Welcome to Love You Most. And this episode is one that I have been so excited about. And I think it's because I was so obsessed with the wrong boys when I was in high school. And this episode is all about things I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating. I wish someone could have knocked me over the head and told me some of these things. And so we're going to go through like 9 different things that I wish someone had told me, or at least I wish I had listened to, because I feel like someone probably told me some of these things. And hopefully if you hear these things and they resonate, you will listen or take them to heart. And maybe if you don't want to listen, that's okay too. But hopefully my experience will just be something that you can just take in and take it as you will. The first thing that I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that if you can't define the relationship, there is no relationship. And I say that for 2 reasons, because when I was in high school, I actually was talking to these 2 guys, and I remember it was this huge, like, scandalous thing because they were both friends and I liked them both for different reasons. One of them, one of the guys was kind of like quiet. He wasn't someone that was like real center of attention, and he was very kind and thoughtful, very sweet, really tall. I'm just trying to think of things that like stood out about him that were different than the other guy. Now, the other guy was like the cool guy, like the one that like everyone wanted to be with. Like, he had the good music. He like all of those type of things, but he was kind of like bad boy vibes. So they both had characteristics that I really liked, but also there were things about each person that I kind of wish I could, like, I don't know, mesh the two together, because they're incredible people, but they, I don't think, were incredible for me, obviously. And I think what was the most scandalous thing to other people was that I was talking to both of them at the same time. And I remember, honestly, looking back on this, is kind of like liberating that I was so confident in myself at that time, because it was very unheard of for people to, like, I feel, talk to multiple people at the same time, especially women in, like, I don't know, when I was younger. And or maybe it was just in the like friend group I was in. I don't know. Maybe because they weren't friends. I really don't know. But either way, I remember it was this huge scandalous thing. And I kept saying, like, I am dating both of you guys. Like, I'm not with either of you. I haven't decided like who I want to be with. Like, I really like both of you guys, but like, I am dating, going on dates with both of you. And I say this to say, like, if you can't define the relationship, there is no relationship, because you do not have to feel tied down to any man, woman, or literally anyone if you are not in a relationship with them. And so if you're wanting to date someone, date them. And I feel like that kind of gets lost in translation sometimes, because people get in their feelings, but like, you can't go on one date with someone and then immediately decide that you like want to be with them. Like, some people need more time, and I don't think that you should have to act like this person is your like life partner when you've been on only a couple of dates with them. And also, a two-part, I feel like I need to say this for the girlies who are talking to that guy who is not like really trying to call you their girlfriend or boyfriend, and you just are kind of like, I don't know, for lack of a better words, being strung along. And I've definitely been in that situation as well. There was this guy, which I'm sure I will talk about a lot on this podcast, who we like talked for such a long time. And I think part of it was because I wasn't really like dating anyone in high school, or like my parents were kind of like, I don't know, very particular about who I dated. And so they wanted to make sure I was like with the right person. And I feel like they kind of got the vibe, like, maybe this person isn't the best. And there were great qualities about this person, but also lots of like not great qualities. And I feel like they were able to see that. And I think friends and parents, honestly, just have like the best judgment with like seeing what is, I don't know, true about a person. And I remember feeling so like, I don't know, connected to this person, like, I want to be with this person. And this person literally did not want to claim me. And I think half the time they did, but then the other half, when they like wanted to be single, they like didn't. And so it was this back and forth of like, oh, I really care about you. Like, I really want to be with you, but like, I don't know if we're going to go to the same college, or, but like, I don't know if this is going to work because, you know, whatever. And I want to like say this for the millionth time. If you can't define the relationship, there is no relationship. Like, if they cannot say, yes, you're my girlfriend, or yes, you're my friend, or yes, like, let's see where this goes and just date. If they can't give you like a definite answer of like what you guys are doing, there is nothing there, and or at least nothing that is of importance to them. And so make sure that even if they're not trying to define the relationship as like boyfriend or girlfriend or partner, make sure that they're at least able to define what it is. Like, are you friends? Are you just going on dates? Are you exclusive? And I think that the more you're able to define the relationship, like, the better your relationship, whatever it is, will end up being. The second thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that I should trust my gut. And I say that to you. You should trust your gut. And you do not need evidence for anything. You do not need someone to tell you or, I don't know, verbalize how they're feeling or, you know, whatever to like combat maybe what's in your gut. Like, if you're feeling bad vibes about someone or like your partnership with them or potential partnership with them, stick with that, because you know yourself so well. Like, you know what you deserve, and you know, like, deep, deep down what that person is going to give you. And I think sometimes right off the bat, we hope that the person we're with will change to be this like incredible like vision of who we think they could be. But we're not really looking at like what's in front of us. And I think one thing that I wish I could have been reminded of, and this isn't even something I like wrote down, but one thing I wish I could have been reminded of is that like I need to accept the person that I'm with as they are and not who I hope that they will become, because that's like a really sticky road to go down, sticky situation. Because if you're hoping that the person you're with is going to be someone that you potentially see them to be in 10 years, do you want to wait 10 years to have them become that person? Like, no, that's 10 years of your life that you've went through like trials and struggles with this person to maybe have them get to be this great person that you see them as, or see their potential as. So trust your gut. If your gut is telling you like bad vibes, like run away from this person super fast, then do that. And if it's telling you this person is for me, then stay with that person or build like onto that relationship. Another thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that you should stop always being available when they say they might want to hang out. And I use the word might because there were many times, like, guys, oh my gosh, many times on a Friday night where like I would text the guy I was talking to throughout the week, or even my boyfriend, like my first boyfriend. Let's not even get into that, because there's a lot of like growth that I had there and a lot of things that I learned from that relationship. But there were many times where I would like text the person I was either talking to or dating, and I would be like, hey, you know, do you want to hang out on Friday? And they would be like, yeah, like maybe, I'm not really sure, like I'll let you know. And then Thursday comes around, I'm like, hey, like, have you figured out like if you're free? And they're like, I don't know, like I might have something going on, I'm not really sure. That's their way of telling you, I'm trying to see what like is better that's gonna come along. So like they're telling you what your worth and value is to them already just by saying like, well, you're actually gonna be like my last option. And so if there's nothing else to do, then we'll hang out or talk. But like until then, I can't really give you a definite answer. Like stop waiting and being available for them when they like might be ready to hang out with you. Like you are a valuable, incredible human, and you deserve to be with someone or be connected with someone that is going to see you as that and see your time as valuable and see you as just a valuable person in their life. And so stop always being available when they say they might want to hang out. Another thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that, this is a hard one, you have to know how to give yourself closure even if they didn't. And I feel like this is hard because in the movies, I feel like you see people get this perfect end of a relationship. Like they might break up and they cry, and then they might come back after and have this resolution and be like, you know what? We weren't meant to be together. And the other person's like, yeah, you're so right. And they hug it out. Or like, you know, they just get, something happens where there's like a resolution, like a final thing that like cuts the relationship off. And I feel like we kind of look for that in our relationships now. And that just does not happen. Like as humans, we are messy, we're broken, we don't say the right things, don't do the right things, we mess up. And I feel like when I was in high school and in college, I was always waiting to get closure from the people that I like just was dating or talking to. And whenever we would stop talking or dating, I don't know, just was like waiting for that closure. And You have to learn to move on by yourself, because no matter what they say, if you still want to be with them, like, you're going to find a workaround in your brain to make you think that, like, whatever they said doesn't really matter, because that's not what you want. And so you have to learn to give yourself closure, because they're never going to be able to give you the closure that you're actually looking for. Like, what do you expect them to say that's going to make you be like, you know what? I'm glad you broke my heart. You know, like, I'm so glad that we're breaking up, or I'm so glad that, like, you didn't work out for me, or whatever. Like, you just have to learn to give yourself closure. And even if you're the person that's breaking up with them, sometimes it is hard to break up with someone that, especially if you just don't feel the vibe, like, maybe they're a great person, but just not great for you. You have to learn to, like, give yourself closure in that, and, like, let it go, and not think about, like, well, what if I stayed with them? Like, what if things, you know, got better, my feelings got stronger, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. You just have to learn to give yourself closure, because no one will be able to give you the closure that you can give yourself. Another thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that you should never beg for your partner's love and affection. Never, never, never. Literally never. If they can't see your value, if they don't want to give you love and affection, like, move on to the next one. Like, and I'm not saying break up with them, but I am a big proponent for breaking up with people, because there are so many people in the world that, like, you could be with. And I do think this does come down to, like, also knowing to love yourself. And this, like, kind of goes back into a lot of the other episodes that I've talked about, solo dates and loving yourself and loving who you are, because I do think you can be with the right partner, and if you don't love yourself, you can be expecting that person to, like, fulfill all the brokenness and, like, holes within yourself. And I don't think that that's healthy either. So make sure that you're really, like, I don't know, defining, like, what is it that I actually want in this relationship, and what is, like, actually feasible for this human to give me. Like, the person you're dating or married to, or just, like, your partner, cannot fulfill every need for you, because it's just not feasible. And they shouldn't have to. Like, it's not your partner's job to bring joy into your life every single day and every second of every day. Like, that's your job. But you shouldn't have to beg your partner for love and affection. Like, if you tell them that there's something that you want, maybe, you know, something specific to your love language, and they're not able to reciprocate that ever, I think that that is, like, something that you should really think about. And I feel like that's definitely not something I thought about when I was dating and in college and high school and, like, talking to guys. I feel like I was always trying to give to them, and I would just take whatever I can get, and that is definitely not healthy. So I wish someone would just have, like, knocked me over the head and said, hey, like, stop begging for them to give you love and affection. And another thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that it's better to be single than to be with someone that doesn't value you. And man, we could get into my dating stories. I haven't really talked about, like, the people that I've been with prior to Brady, because we started dating at 19 and I hadn't really been with that many people before him. I talked to a couple people, like, somewhat seriously. I mean, I feel like anytime you talk to someone, you are, like, connecting to them in some way, and, like, they're changing you for better or for worse. Like, they're changing your view of the world. Like, if you talk to them for, like, a couple months or a year or whatever, I feel like it definitely is significant. And then I had, like, two somewhat serious boyfriends before Brady, and so I feel like I have, like, a good basis, because I think I talked to, what, four people, and then I, like, dated those two. So, I mean, that's a good basis between, like, high school and college. But I cannot even describe to you how much I was just so, like, not getting what I deserved out of these people, because I was getting the absolute bare minimum from them. And this is why I say it's better to be single than to be with someone that doesn't value you, because you will run yourself into the ground waiting for someone to give you the love that you deserve and the attention and the, like, just thoughtfulness that you're expecting. And, like, that movie type of love, like what you see in the movies, yeah, there are some things that are embellished, but there are things that are real. Like, you should be able to feel loved by the person you're with. I feel like when you're married to someone, when you're dating someone, when you're talking to someone, it should feel good. It shouldn't feel hard. It should feel easy. And yes, there should be parts of it that are hard, but overall, it should be easy. And I think being with Brady, we've been together for 11 years. Of course, there were parts of our relationship that were hard. And I would say that's probably like the beginning of our relationship when it was like the most hard. But now, like, when I look at how we've grown into who we are, and we've also worked on ourselves a lot, and we worked on our relationship a lot, and over the years, we've just like matured as people. When I look at us now, like, our relationship is so easy, like, so easy. And it's because we know how to like effectively communicate, and we know how to like fill each other's cup up because we know each other's love languages. And I don't know. I wish that someone had just like shook me and said, just be single, be by yourself, learn to be alone, learn to love being alone, learn to love yourself more. Because when you love yourself more, you're not going to take the bare minimum from other people, because you'll realize like, no, I'm valuable. I don't deserve that. I deserve better than that. And when you don't like love yourself or love yourself enough, because I don't want to say you're not loving yourself if you're accepting things you don't deserve, but I don't think you love yourself enough. Because if you love yourself enough, like, when you look at your friends, like, think about your best friend. Your best friend, if she's dating someone or he's dating someone that like they're not supposed to be with, the first thing you're gonna say is like, dump that person. Like, you do not need to be with them. And it's because you love them so much, because you see like who they could be with and how like they're an incredible person. You value so many parts of them. And I don't know. I feel like you are so much better off single than being with someone that doesn't value you and all of you. Another thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that you can love somebody and also know that they're not right for you. And this is something that I feel like we don't see enough, or people don't talk about enough, because I think sometimes people think that, like, especially in movies, that like if you love someone, like, you have to be with them, because there's only like, you know, this true love that like you're never going to be able to replicate and see in anything else. And sometimes that's just not the case. Like, sometimes you can, and that goes to friendships too, not even just partners. Like, you can love someone or parts of someone and recognize like they are never going to be who you know that they could be, or who you think they should be, or maybe they're just not who they should be for you and they're who they should be for someone else. And that's okay. Like, you can love someone from a distance. You can let them go because you recognize they're not for you. And it's a hard lesson to learn, but I feel like it's a very valuable one. And the last thing I wish I knew about relationships when I was dating is that your partner should be the person you're having the most fun with. And I'm not saying that you should be having more fun with them than literally anyone, but I'm saying that, like, in comparison to like a lot of your relationships, when you look at friendships with the girls or friendships in your Bible study or in your book club or knitting group, or like when you go out with friends, like whatever that may be, when you look at those different like friendships and how they're compartmentalized, like maybe your college friends, obviously like there are times where you have fun and there's times where you have strife, but like think about the relationship with the person that you're in, or maybe that you want to be with, or the person that maybe you broke up with and you're just like, oh, should I get back with them? What did that relationship look like? Like, did you guys actually have fun? Or were there just like moments that you are glamorizing and overall the relationship was just like not a good one and was very toxic? Like, when I look back on a lot of my relationships, yes, there were really great times, but there were so many times where we just were like, just absolutely toxic. Like, I remember the person that I was with before Brady, whenever like I broke up with them, I remember they called me 30 times and like just absolutely blew up my phone. And the first message they would say, I love you so much, like, let's get back together, like, you're incredible. Next message that came through, you know what, you don't deserve like me, like, you're terrible, you're this, that, and the other, and just back and forth. And that's how our relationship was when we were together. And that's what I, like, I don't know, what I thought was like normal, because I also think in TV, I'm keep going back to TV, but I feel like it's such a good, like, I don't know, a good thing to like compare to, because it's what all of us see. And I think that's like what normalizes what we think is like normal. But in TV, like you see people having like screaming matches and like yelling and like, you know, having these like crazy passionate fights and then like making up. Like that is not normal. That is absolutely 100 million percent not normal. Yes, it is normal to disagree and it's normal to argue, but it is not normal. If you are with someone who is making you feel afraid when they call you or fearful when they, you know, are speaking to you, if they're raising their voice to a point where you're literally like, I can't even say anything to them because they're not listening, like those are not healthy ways to communicate. And I think that I was 17 at that age or somewhere around there. Like I felt like that was normal because I think so many of my friends were also in relationships like that, where the person they were with would kind of just like go off and then they would just like get over it. And like, that's not normal. And now that I'm in such a healthy relationship that makes me feel so safe and secure and loved, I don't know. I want to remind you, like, just over and over and over again, that your partner should be the person you're having the most fun with. And you should be having like tons and tons of memories. Like, if you guys were to go and hang out tonight, what would that look like? Like, would you guys end up in a fight? Would you guys end up with, you know, one person being super upset and then someone else having to, like, I don't know, talk the person down? Like, how does that work for you, like when you guys actually hang out? And I wish that someone had told me that when I was dating, because I don't know, I think I thought that that was normal. Like there were many times where we would go out and like, you know, go to like a party with friends or whatever. And I remember with my first boyfriend, when we would go to like, you know, get together with friends or something, there'd be many times where they would get upset and I would have to just like try to smooth things over and like make things better. And like, I didn't even do anything wrong, but I felt like I did, because they would like all of a sudden feel some type of way about something I said and it would turn into this big thing. And like, that's not healthy. So I don't know, overall, I could talk about this just a million and one times, because I wish that someone had, I don't know, I guess I wasn't really listening to podcasts at the time. So I probably wasn't really listening to much of anyone's advice about anything. And looking at my friends at the time, they all had relationships, I think, that were kind of similar to like what I was dealing with at the time. So it felt normal. But now looking back, I'm like, girl, you should have left them a long time ago. Like all of them, literally, they just should have been left in the dust. But if you guys want more little chats like this about, you know, dating or relationship advice or advice that I'd give someone who maybe just got married, or relationship advice for someone who is with someone, drop all of your questions into the Q&A box. I'm going to leave it on Sunday or Monday on the Love You Most Pod Instagram. I actually left the Q&A box this time on a Tuesday, I think, and I definitely should have left it on Sunday or Monday. But I'm going to answer one question only, because we are kind of like into this episode and there isn't a ton of time left. But one of you guys asked, how do you fall back in love with the hobby again? And I think the way to fall back in love with the hobby, just like hopping into our little Q&A chat, is to give yourself grace and don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like for reading, for example, I feel like it's so easy to, like, if you are someone who's always loved reading and people see you as someone who loves reading, if you stop reading for any reason, I feel like we kind of take on our hobbies as a part of our identity. And so when we're not doing those things, it feels like we're almost losing a part of ourselves. But like, we're not. It's just a hobby. Like, you can drop a hobby, pick up a hobby as much as you want or as little as you want. You are no less of a reader if you read one book a year, or if you read 100 books a year, or if you're a knitter. Like, if you knit like one like quilt or one scarf or one like pot holder, you are no less of a knitter than if you finish half of one, or if you finish a fourth of one, or if you don't finish anything at all and you just like barely start, or maybe you're just watching YouTube videos about it and don't actually do it. Like, you are still someone who has a hobby of knitting, and no one can take that away from you. It's kind of like when and I've seen this many times where like I will say like, oh, I love like this sports team, and then every time I'm always around somebody who is like, what do you know about the sports team? Like, how long have they been around? Who's your favorite player? And it's like, you know what? I can like the sports team without knowing every single detail about the sports team and without like doing extensive research or without like going to every single game or watching every single game on TV. And you can like love a hobby without any like additional pressure just because you love it. Like you don't have to do it a ton. You don't have to do it like a little. Like if you have the hobby of going to the gym and working out and you only work out, I don't know, once every 3 weeks versus like 5 times a week or 6 times a week, like that's okay. I think sometimes with hobbies, we turn them into these things that we feel like are not a chore, but like kind of, and we feel like we need to do it so much so that it feels like it is valid for us to say that we're a part of that group. And you're part of that group, whatever that group is, and that hobby that you love, you're part of it because you love it. So I don't know, give yourself grace, take the pressure off, and I would say to dip your toe back into whatever that hobby is, start small. Do not put a lot of pressure on yourself. I think when we start taking a hobby and turning it into something that we feel like we have to do or something we need to do so much of, I think that that's what makes it stressful. And to get into our book chat, just for the end of this podcast episode, I'm like really loving like these episodes, by the way. I'm feeling so much more comfortable. But to get in the book chat, I just finished a 24-hour reading blog on Instagram, or not on Instagram, on BookTube. So make sure you're following me there because I just read 5 books and I rated 2 of them 4 stars. Continuum by Daniel Allen was so good. And I loved Black Buck, and that one was like a newer book that I hadn't really heard about anyone talk about, and I loved it. So yeah, I love you most, love you more than anyone you know. Well, maybe not, but I love you a lot, and I hope you guys have a great day. Bye, guys.